You must be bored to death with me banging on about me in these audio diaries, so I thought I'd talk a little bit about how cancer affects other people. I mean, just through my eyes, because I can remember vividly when I was first diagnosed, I found a lump in my breast. This was in August 2002, and I was just staggering out of the hospital with my then boyfriend, now my husband, having been told that that lump was cancer, it was breast cancer. And basically follow-up appointment in a week's time just gives you a week, you know, to panic slightly. But I have to say that the JR were fantastic. I mean, they got me in so fast from having found the lump. I think I was in within 10 days to have the tests and everything. Anyway, so I'm staggering out of hospital, absolutely shell-shocked. And my whole world has just turned upside down. Of course, you hear the word cancer, you think, I'm going to die. This is it. Oh, my God. And I'm 39. I was 39 at the time. So the first person I called was my boss to say, I don't think I'm going to be in work tomorrow. He was fabulous. After a short silence, basically said, it's always the nice people, isn't it? Made me cry. And just basically said, whatever you need, not a problem. And then I called my oldest friend. And she was so distraught when I told her that I ended up comforting her. And of course, it hadn't occurred to me that she loved me and would be worried for me. I don't know whether I was caught up in my own head or whether you kind of don't register that people really do care for you until something awful happens. And then the tidal wave of love and support is absolutely overwhelming. But she was absolutely distraught. And I like I said, I had to comfort her, and I was just bowled over by that. And then I called family. My brother couldn't cope with it. He just could not cope with the information and said, actually, can you stop talking now, because I can't take this all in. I'll call you back tomorrow, which again kind of bowled me over. So other people's reactions to my illness have been very strange. I mean, people that I thought were friends have completely disappeared. People that I hadn't really thought of as particularly close friends have absolutely stepped up to the mark and have been fantastic. Colleagues were brilliant, and my colleagues at Jack, people are going to say, oh, you have to say that, don't you? No, are absolutely brilliant. The stuff they do that they don't talk about, they can see me struggling up and down the stairs, so someone will just come up and say, fancy a cup of coffee? Oh, yes, please, thank you very much indeed. And we'll go and fetch me a coffee, which is at the other end of the building, and schlep it back up to me. Thank you very much indeed. And everyone at Jack quietly leaves the space next to the door for me to park in so that I don't have to walk very far. There's been no official memo, no email. Everyone just agreed to do it, and nobody parks there so that I don't have to walk all the way from the car park, which is just fantastic. I absolutely love that about them. Some people have been well-meaning but not very helpful, like the person who said, oh, breast cancer, yes, my aunt had breast cancer, oh my God, she died in screaming agony, oh, they couldn't touch her pain, you know. And you think, that's exactly what I need to hear right now, thank you so much. And then the other well-meaning people who say, oh, well, as long as you stay positive, keep fighting. So this is my fault then, is it? So if I die, it's because I haven't fought hard enough, or I haven't been positive or chirpy enough, which kind of puts an awful lot of the burden back on me. And there was, I had one email actually quite recently from someone who said, I've heard you on the radio, you know, I think I can help with sort of mental imaging. We can imagine the cancer leaving your body, and with positive thinking, I'm sure we'll do great things. Unless, of course, he went on to say, you subconsciously want to hang on to your cancer. At which point I think I almost ripped the monitor off the desk and threw it across the room. No, I don't subconsciously want to hang on to my cancer. I really don't. Take this from me. And again, it puts the burden back on me. You know, if anything happens to me, if my cancer keeps progressing, it's because I'm not doing the right things, or I'm not being positive enough. Please. There are some people who just don't get it. At least two people have looked at me and said, you've got cancer, but you're a big girl. Well, not all cancer victims are skeletal and in bed. You know, some of us look absolutely normal. In fact, if you think one in three of us has cancer, have a look around your office. Have a look around next time you step out on the pavement. There'll be more of us around than you think. But obviously with my cancer, you can't really see it. You can see that I'm not very well because my hair's falling out, and sometimes I have to use a stick, and sometimes I'm in a wheelchair. But otherwise, looking at it, you would never know that there was anything wrong with me, really. And then there are the fabulous friends who step up and just do the right thing. My oldest friend said, "What do you need?" This was just after I'd had both breasts removed, so you're a bit tender, to say the least. And I said, "Well, I've just started painting Joe's bedroom. I don't think I'm going to be finishing that anytime soon." Her and her husband came up the next weekend, painted it twice, two coats, and then filled my freezer with lots of homemade food. So all I had to do was stick it in the oven. Absolutely fabulous. So yes, I think other people's reaction to my illness has been an eye-opener.